Giannotto!
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Presented by Carter, Volkswagen, and Ballard.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports Station.
And Brock, you are. And Brock, you are.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Let the fire!
Oh, yes. Hello and good morning. Brock and Salk show here on Seattle Sports, 710salesports.com. That's Seattle Sports app and all those podcast platforms. Hope you guys are having a good Tuesday. Cold again this morning. We're in that little weird zone. Hockey's now kind of ended for like a week. They get a long time off for the All-Star break. It's not like baseball where you get a few days. They get like a cracking up almost 2 weeks. Yeah, no, like, not quite. Maybe 10 days, something like that.
It's not like fun home run derby style thing either.
I know. Well, Kraken are going to be completely non-represented at the All-Star game, too. So hockey's kind of out. You get this, like, you know, next week is the build-up to the Super Bowl, but this week is sort of the, like, all right, well, those championship games happened. Let's keep talking about the refs for a while. So kind of a funky week. So I thought, with that in mind, I would start off this morning with a comment on the city of Seattle. We are often told that Seattle is a place where passive aggressiveness reigns.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
It is a passive aggressive city by nature. But no, it's not always easy to define exactly what that means. Thankfully, our boss here sent an email yesterday to the whole office that I think very perfectly sums it up. So I thought I would read this to you, and hopefully she won't get too mad at me for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you sure?
Yeah, I think it's
all right. You think so?
You don't think I should?
I don't know.
Are you actually telling me no, or is this like a bit where you're telling me no?
Could it be half and half?
I don't know. I feel like it's funny.
Okay.
No?
I trust your discretion here.
Well, I had a plan, and now you're making... Now
whatever, it's like Jason, you can do whatever you want here.
You're definitely giving me pause, because I feel like it's funny, but I don't want to get fired over it. Although I'm sure a lot of the listeners are now going to encourage me to read it no matter what.
Well, of course.
I think it's funny. So I've told you about the market we have downstairs before, right? That's where I go down
You're mad about it.
I do hate Pop-Tarts. The market because they have Pop-Tarts and Patty keeps ordering them and it drives me a little bit crazy because then I go down there and I'm like, I'll have a Pop-Tart. And then I gain another 5 pounds. So each time, you eat a Pop-Tart, you gain 5.
Yes.
So, you pay for it. There's like a little machine there and you pay for it and you move on. Well, we get an email that says a friendly reminder that you must pay for all items in the garden level micro market. If you inadvertently forgot to pay for your Coke Zero or your spicy noodles, feel free to scan the item at the kiosk, pay for it, then return the product to the shelf.
Two specific items.
I mean, that's about as passive aggressive as you can get.
I will say, we had this exact same market at my past job, and we got a lot of these.
Oh, I'm sure you did, right? And because people go down, they're like, kind of want a Coke Zero.
Even worse, followed up with, just a quick reminder, there are cameras.
Oh, of course there are cameras.
So that was always the follow-up to that
I like
job.
The last part of this, though. It says, don't worry, if you're a frequent user of the market, you might want to use their app. So you can still purchase from the market by using your phone, even if you forget your wallet. That is fantastic. So now I'm on a hunt, by the way. I've been interrogating folks throughout the morning, trying to figure out who it is who's been stealing Coke Zero and spicy noodles from our market.
Still never been down there. I didn't even know we had spicy noodles.
I didn't. Yeah, spicy noodles surprises me. The Coke Zero, obviously, I mean, that makes sense. There's a fridge with stuff in it. But the spicy noodles, that's kind of a, you know, that's a gutsy thing to steal down there. That's not like a candy bar or something like that. That's going after like a whole meal.
They're like cup of noodles.
That what it is?
Yeah, I don't think there's like a full.
Speaking of.
Sounds like maybe Moore's got a little information on the spicy noodles down there.
Have you seen me eating cup of noodles? We work at 5 a.m.
Hey, I don't know when you come back here in the evening. Is this when you come back at night with your long fingers, reach around and grab something out of the.
I'm amazed that Justin's worked here over a year and has never been down to the market. Like, do you know how many times I've been like, I'm starving?
Right. Yeah,
I got to go down there.
I don't know. I think I forced myself to do a little bit more meal prepping or planning.
Okay.
Because I did rely on the market. Like I said, my previous job, They have those, what are they called, dilly pickle bite things in there. I was like, well, those are all mine.
Yeah, we've got those too.
Yeah, they have them downstairs. Yeah.
I know. It's the exact same company. Exactly. I know exactly what it is, and I had a problem with the pickles. So I had to it's easier to
avoid. A problem with the pickles meaning you ate them too often or you don't like them?
I couldn't buy the fridge without buying them.
But it's funny. For all of your talk, I will say one other thing here. Apparently, I'm stalling a little bit this morning, but for all of Justin's talk about pickles, Maura, and it's been over a year, right, that Justin's worked here. It's been almost a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
You come in, you bring your lunch every day.
Yeah.
Right? You bring food with you. You make overnight oats.
Yes, I do.
A lot of times. You bring vegetables, stuff like that. In the nearly year and a half, Maura, that Justin has been here with us on this show, have you ever seen him bring pickles in?
Other than the Christmas present?
Other than when he gave you a Christmas present of pickles. Here's what I'm wondering. Do you think Justin's whole pickle persona...
He's in the pickle game for the clout?
I'm saying, do you think his whole pickle persona is a lie?
For the free gear he gets?
I don't know.
And all that stuff? He's got Clausen sending him tie-dye sweatsuits?
Look, Justin can sort of try to make it out like he's not a hipster, but being super into pickles to the point where you have a pickle website is hipstery for sure. How much more hipster would it be if you're not even into pickles? Just identified it as the type of thing that you could, you know, be different and cool and unique about, and then you just go after the whole pickle. Yeah, you try to corner the pickle
market.
Because
I'm the only person into pickles.
Well, the only person I know into pickles like this. You're the only person I know with a pickle rating Instagram page.
I mean, Have you considered maybe this is my own passive-aggressive, not bringing the pickles to share because they're just they're too good?
You think that if you bring
thing for me,
if you bring pickles in, we're all going to clamor to eat them?
I really think it's more about like, I said this the other day in the sports pit, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to be the loud guy eating an apple over here. It's me being aware of what pickles bring to a room. It's like opening a can of tuna fish. Pickles have a certain love them or hate them vibe, and I don't know if everybody loves them in the sports pit, so I don't bring them.
Text message, meal prepping, Justin thinks he's better than us. Yeah, that's kind of the vibe I'm getting today. Justin feels like he's a little bit better than us with his cool pickles that he won't eat in public and everything else.
Whatever.
I don't know, man. Almost as hipster says the 253 is having a fake girlfriend. Yeah, I would. If I didn't like Betsy enough, I think I would tend to agree with you. But we hung out with Betsy again on Friday night, and she really is delightful. So I'm trying to see if we can get everybody together for the Super Bowl.
She brought it up to me yesterday.
Yeah, so she's invited herself to my house.
That's what she said. She goes, I don't know if you heard that conversation, but I also volunteered you to make the Korean meatball things that you just made. And I was like, oh, okay.
Thanks, Betsy.
Appreciate that.
All right, well, I invited G yesterday to see if we could find another opportunity to get G together with Betsy.
All right.
And he gave me what I would only describe as a hard maybe. It was a lot of this. Hey, you want to come by the Super Bowl? I'm going to try to do the Super Bowl thing. And Betsy invited herself over. She's going to be there. You want to come to my house? Which, by the way, he continues to say he's never been invited to, even though it's now been multiple times he's been invited to my house. And he gives me one of the like, I was like, what is that? So we'll see.
Wait, how many years have you worked with G? Or known G, I should say.
Since 2014.
And out of those many years, how many times have you hung out outside of work? A handful?
Once.
Once? And he's the one giving you
grief. No, that's not true. A couple of times.
Okay.
A couple of times. I've been down to, drove down to his place in Tacoma at some point. Avery and I went to go watch his son play football when they were at Blanchette. So, I don't know, a few times.
So it's his turn.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, he never invites me anywhere, but then he gets mad and makes it seem like I won't allow him in my house for reasons that he's only going to insinuate at, et cetera. But this will be yet another time G has been invited to my house. So put the pressure on him. If you know G or if you want to text his show at 9 o'clock today or whatever, feel free because he has been invited.
You're going to start a petition to get G to your house?
Yes. You know what? I might have. That might be exactly what we do. Start a little like groundswell, but only at the 6 a.m. audience. Like not at 8 o'clock when there's a lot of people listening. Just 6 o'clock when there's a few. We'll see if we can get people to get G to my house for the Super Bowl. All right. Coming up next, we'll give you everything you actually need to know today. Franchise tag numbers are out, and so are the salary cap numbers. What does it mean for the Seahawks in their offseason? We'll tell you next.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, franchise tag numbers have officially been set by the NFL, and if Seahawks want to use that as a starting point with Geno Smith, how much will it cost? How about $32.4 million for 1 year? You willing to spend that much money on a quarterback? Well, it's not really about you. It's about the Seahawks and whether or not they decide they want to spend it. It still feels like a lot. They've certainly sent mixed messages. On one hand, you got Pete Carroll saying he understands what the cost will be.
Well, if you want to have one of the top guys in the NFL, you're going to have to go get it. Geno's aware of what the situation is, too. He wants to have a good team around him also. And so we'll try to figure out the best way that we can and see where we are. That's what free agency is all about for the players. This is their time of year. Geno, he hasn't been approached yet, but he'll find that out. But I know he knows this is the best place for him. He knows that we understand him and appreciate and love everything that he brings and the leadership. And he loves his guys and his team and his coaches, all of that. So it's a big love fest, and we need to figure it out and make all the right decisions. Can we afford to? Well, if you want to have a great player, you got to pay for stuff. And we've not understood that over the years. And we've been through it. So we do know. We know where we're going with this thing.
Are Pete and John just full-on good cop, bad cop in this thing? Like, Pete sits here like, oh, we love Geno. We absolutely want to pay him. We know we got to pay. And John's like, oh, we got a hard limit. Thanks. Like, is that all they're doing? Is this just good cop, bad cop? It's a little...
like mom and dad.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of feels that way. Anyway, Pete said that, but they've also said they want Geno back and a deal hasn't gotten done. So I keep looking at it and saying maybe they don't want to pay him as much as he wants to get paid, especially as he continues to tweet things that just none of them say outright that he is unhappy, but all of them seem to just lead me to that conclusion. Meanwhile, salary cap numbers are in as well. Cap's up about $16.5 million over last year. Seahawks will have about $31 million in cap space, which is number six in the league, and that's before signing quarterback and making any cuts that they'll have to make. Curtis Rogers pointed out that's about 14.5% of the cap. For the franchise tag number of 32.5. So if you do want to sign Geno to that number, it's not cost prohibitive. But when you have as much work as the Seahawks do ahead of them to rebuild that defense, can you afford to do both?
Here's the second thing you need to know.
So nobody seems to want the Waltons' money, huh? At least not to be coach of the Broncos. Jim Harbaugh turned them down twice, it sounds like. Sean Payton appears to be out. Dan Quinn doesn't want it. He's going to stay in Dallas. And now it's D'Amico Ryans who's going to choose Houston over them. Houston! Think about all the reasons not to choose Houston. And then think about the fact that he would prefer that to working with Russell Wilson in Denver. What a disaster. How the mighty have fallen. A year ago, that was considered to be one of those great up-and-coming rosters and everything else. And now you look at it, and nobody wants the job. They're going to lose out on their top four choices to be their head coach. Quarterback situation in the NFC West starting to look awfully murky as well for the next year. The Seahawks don't have anyone under contract, as you know. Kyler Murray's coming off a devastating knee injury that could affect his availability next year. Matt Stafford's still recovering. And the Niners just found out yesterday Brock Purdy is going to need at least 6 months to recover from a torn UCL in his elbow. That's a bummer. Of course, they have Jimmy G as a free agent and then Trey Lance recovering from his own injuries. So who's the quarterback in the NFC West right now? It's just crazy. You wonder why NFL teams can go from the penthouse to the outhouse and back so quickly. That's why. An entire division can just be completely ransacked at the quarterback position, and then you have no idea who the best team is in it all of a sudden. So the Niners clearly still have the best roster. I think the Rams will certainly be back next year as they get healthier, but man, quarterback very much up in the air for all four teams.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Yeah, this is such garbage. No Matty Beniers in the All-Star game. That became official yesterday. There is a small piece of good news. The Kraken don't play again until next Tuesday, which is crazy. It means Beniers is going to go nearly 2 weeks from the last game until the next one, the last game he played in anyway. So obviously that gives him some time to hopefully recover from what we assume is a concussion. The bad news? Well, first, the Kraken aren't going to have a representative in the All-Star game, right? Now, I don't know whether the NHL All-Star game was required viewing or anything like that, but it was going to be cool to see Matty Beniers kind of, get his opportunity to shine amongst the league's best. And then he was replaced by a Golden Knight, Chandler Stephenson, so that's kind of obnoxious. A team that's alone in first place place is not going to be represented at all in the All-Star game doesn't sound quite right. You can go figure that out. But the really bad news, and this is ridiculous, no suspension for Tyler Myers, despite the fact that everybody who has watched that would agree it was cheap, and it injured a young star with a concussion. Where's the NHL on this? It can be an infuriating league sometime. It really can be. But here's what I hope. I hope the Kraken have somebody ready to take a run at that 6'8 monster the next time they see the Canucks, because he deserves every second of what's coming to him. There you go. It's everything you need to know. And we do that quarter past every hour. And yeah, you'd have to go through his neck to do it.
Yeah.
Dude, Moore sent us a picture of him, of Tyler Myers. It's like his headshot. It is, that's a neck and a half.
He's giving Mike Glennon a run for his money for sure.
Well, Glennon's got the neck beard thing, right? Isn't that him? Doesn't he have like a little neck beard? He's like long with a little like.
He has a very prominent
Adam's apple.
Is that his deal? Like when he was on Hard Knocks, I remember Gruden just be like, you got a neck on you.
But his is, he's all length, right? He's sort of in the Steve Grogan long giraffe neck thing. And Tyler Myers has that too. I mean, he's 6'8", so there's a lot of length to the neck, but he's also got some like Ted Johnson thickness to his neck.
If you guys want to see what we're talking about, just Google Tyler Myers and it's like the first picture that pops up.
I don't know that you should.
It looks altered. It's
Like they filled in the neck. Yes,
it looks Photoshopped.
You think
but it's an official photo.
Photoshopped his neck?
It's on NHL.com.
All right. Well, who's going to take a run at him? Alexiak decided he was going to fight Shen the last time, which is fine, but I want some justice. I want somebody to get after this dude the next time you have an opportunity. And yeah, it's a bummer that Beniers isn't going to be in the All-Star game, but I don't really care about that. What I care about is that he's actually going to be back in a couple of weeks when it's time to play real games that matter again. We have no guarantee that's the case. I mean, we can sit here and say, all right, 2 weeks, that's a lot. But I mean, you know, what if this is a de-escorte situation?
Right.
And there's no way to know from the way his head hit the ground or anything like that. This could just as easily be de-escorte as it is a week or two in your back. Think about missing 2 weeks for a concussion in football. Happens all the time, right?
Or a lot longer. I feel like 2 weeks is the low end.
Exactly. So it wouldn't shock me at all if he's not ready to go at that point. We have no idea. We don't even know if it's a concussion because of the way the NHL doesn't really report this stuff. But, yeah, I'm really bothered by it. And I know I'm not alone. I know a lot of people are. It doesn't sit right that the NHL isn't going to react. And I know I've heard it posited by many people before that, you know, a league like the NHL should suspend somebody for a dirty hit as long as the injured player is out injured. There is a level of justice to that that makes perfect sense to me. Like, if you're going to look, if it's an accident, that's one thing. But if you're going to take a run at somebody who's standing there without the puck the way Tyler Myers did, which is dirty by definition.
A penalty was called.
And it should have been more. I mean, that's more than interference.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It should have been interference in a game misconduct. That's what I would have called. But, hey, they give him the interference. He's not looking. He hit him. First of all, you hit anybody from behind, it's dirty. You hit them without the puck, it's even dirtier. And for him to skate free while Beniers is out with potentially a concussion, who knows? What if this is career threatening? I'm not trying to, you know, make this sound worse than it is. We have no idea. But
yeah,
some concussions are.
Whole panel that reviews these things, and I just don't understand.
Unfortunately, those guys are super drunk.
But they don't release anything either, right?
They're just, they're absolutely wasted over the course of the last week. They got done with dry January a little early, and they're not really sure how to handle the Beniers Tyler Myers situation. It's the only excuse
question, because I didn't watch one last year. NHL All-Star Game. Is it as interesting or fun as any other All-Star games?
Yeah, it's not great.
Okay.
I mean, there's no hitting. It's all offense. You kind of go back and forth. But then they've made some changes to it.
The skills competitions are fun.
Those are fun. And they've made some changes the last few years. Right? Didn't they do like a round robin or something at some point with a bunch of teams kind of going back and forth? To be honest with you, Justin, it has been so long since I've watched the NHL All-Star game.
Sure.
I don't really.
Well, it's a 3-on-3 now again, I think.
Is it back?
What?
The only All-Star game I watch is baseball. Sorry. I really don't like any of the others. I don't like the Pro Bowl. I know it's gone. I don't like the NHL or the NBA. Like, I watch baseball. That's it.
Yep. So.
All right. We got a bunch of different things I want to hit on. It's a 49er Seahawks question. And then two different Mariner rankings that I don't think make sense with each other. We'll explain next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, SeattleSports.com.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports Station.
I'm living in some level of fear today. Now, I've insulted the boss to start off the show. And then we have a meeting later today here at the station at, like, what, 1 o'clock, I think our meeting is?
Yeah.
And, you know, Bob and I share a parking space.
Oh,
right?
No.
So, and he usually doesn't get in till close to then. But if I'm going to be here, like, I usually try to get out of the way. I mean, we share it evenly. But I guess I have more of an ability to get out early and, like, maybe look for parking ahead of time. So I'm going to try to do that. But if I can't find parking, then what happens? Am I, you know, running the risk of having Bob come in here looking for a confrontation or something like those? Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
A couple pieces of smoke you didn't expect to step into today.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. Actually, I kind of expected to step into the one with the boss because I saw that email last night and I just couldn't help it. I just saw it. Was like, come on, this is too good. Mostly, I want to find out who's responsible. I mean, like, you don't put specifics in there like that unless you've got somebody on tape stealing Coke Zero. So I'm
it says down there that there's cameras.
Oh yeah. But I am gonna be looking around this, scouring this office for the next few weeks, maybe not today or tomorrow because people will be smart, but once they get back to their normal habits, to see who the Coke Zero drinkers are. Because not that many people really drink soda anymore, right? I mean, like, it's hard to find somebody who drinks a lot of soda. So I'm gonna be looking around. I'll have my eyes peeled for the Coke Zero drinkers and see what happens. Have you had Olipop?
Love Olipops.
Dude, that's good, huh? Yeah,
I love those things.
Dude, that it's like 5 grams of sugar. There's like no sugar in it. I tried that over the weekend. That could be a new thing in my life. Right.
Random but good.
Well, you know, always looking for things with less sugar that taste like Coke. That was kind of exciting. All right. So let me start with this Mariners thing that Maura sent me, because I read these two lists and I'm not really sure how they play together. Okay. So let me start with the second list. The second list is a ranking of Major League Baseball lineups. Okay. It's not looking at pitching. It's not looking at defense. It's not looking at anything else. It's just strength of their lineup, okay? And it's a little too early, as it agrees, but this is as it states, but this is on ESPN. And it has the Mariners at number 7 in baseball.
All right.
The 7th best lineup in baseball, right? They list the lineup as Julio in center, Ty France at first, Suarez at third, Teoscar Hernandez in right, Colton Wong at second, Cal Raleigh catching, J.P. Crawford at short. They've got A.J. Pollock here at DH and Jared Kelnick in left field. And they've run some projections on this. Park neutral run, 799. Their best traits would be speed, the long ball, gap to gap, and patience. Worst traits, unsurprisingly, would be contact.
Yeah, all strikeouts.
Right. And it goes through here. It says, I'll just read you a little from this. It says, it's been a whirlwind for roster watchers in Seattle. Haniger, Winker, Frazier, Santana, and Lewis are out. Hernandez, Wong, and Pollock are in. The end result looks good, although you'd still like to see fewer strikeouts in the lineup. There's a good mix of power and speed, or players like Rodriguez who feature both. The addition of Hernandez only adds to the raw power in the order, with him, J-Rod, Suarez, and Raleigh all projecting in the 90th percentile or better in isolated power. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
France is a hitter with decent power, good strike zone command, and excellent contact ability, a skill set that helps balance the lineup. So they like this lineup a lot, and that's some projections, right? That's not just like, you know, Joe Schmo like me is taking a look and is like, well, this guy's name is good. He was good 5 years ago. Let's give him a check mark. Well,
J-Rod, Suarez, Raleigh all projecting to be in the 90th percentile or better in isolated power. That makes it not feel as heavily weighted on this just being a Julio
exactly
heavy lineup.
But again, remember, they traded for Teoscar Hernandez, so it wasn't a good offseason. They didn't sign him as a free agent.
It wasn't even one of the names that I read right there.
They should have signed him as a free agent. It's a huge mistake. If only they had paid more money for Teoscar, he'd be a better player. But because they traded for him, it's not a good offseason. He's not going to be any good. Anyway.
Well, we talked about consistency with Kelnick the other day after DePoto bringing it up.
Yeah.
I really think they, with Ty France being listed there as kind of one of their bigger players, like they need consistency from him this year.
Ty France?
Yeah. Oh, and I know
heck
that he...
Yeah.
I know, well, you were worried about his wrist last year. They kept saying it wasn't an issue, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe that. So
remember how hot of a start he got off to? And
yeah.
Like when we had DeRosa on and he was raving about him, it fizzled out, and it just seems like that happens at some point every year.
Well, so they list the Mariners as the number 7 lineup in baseball, okay? When you think of this year's Mariners team, What do you think of as their biggest weakness?
Ooh.
I mean, last year it was hitting.
Yeah, it's their offense.
Yeah. Offense, yeah.
Nobody's looking at their pitching and being like, eh, I don't know. They only have seven. Right? Like, nobody's looking at their bullpen.
Too many good pitchers in the starting rotation.
Nobody's looking at their bullpen and being like, eh, you know what the problem here is? They got too many good relievers in this bullpen. This is a disaster. Their bullpen, their starting pitching, and their defense should all be positives. They should all be better than their lineup.
Yeah.
So how is it that I'm reading that their lineup is seventh best in baseball, their pitching is better than their lineup, and yet they're being picked as the 10th best team in the league? Somebody explain that to me?
I feel like you want us to say that you are right.
I'm not saying I'm right. I don't know whether I'm right. I'm not making a claim to be right about.
We've had a lot of naysayers this offseason, but obviously the experts think that the Mariners improved.
I'm just looking at ESPN, and they do their power rank. It's all on the same website. It'd be one thing if you're like, well, one of those is CBS Sports, Mike, and the other's on ESPN. They have very different views. Okay.
So the first thing I can understand was number seven?
No, they're just in the first
list was overall rankings.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then
their lineup is seventh best in the league.
Gotcha.
Their pitching and defense should be better than their lineup. Mm-hmm. And yet they are listed as the 10th best team in the league behind the Astros, Mets, Braves. Somehow the Mets are on here twice, but whatever. Padres, Dodgers, Blue Jays, Phillies, Rays, and then Mariners. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're really the 9th best and somehow somebody accidentally put the Mets on here twice.
I wrote down that list. So it was me.
Okay, well, I thought you cut.
I
and
must have missed.
I think you cut and pasted it. I don't think you wrote it down.
One of the Mets is supposed to be the Yankees. That's all.
Oh, it's New York twice. Yeah. Okay, well, same difference.
Oh, I left the Yankees off. That seems
accurate. That's weird.
That seems like something my brain would
do.
Here's what it says about the Mariners in this list. Mariners fans are frustrated with an offseason that's seen them make trades for right fielder Teoscar Hernandez, second baseman Colton Wong, and sign A.J. Pollock as a platoon bat depth piece for the outfield and DH, but lacking in a big splashy move. The payroll does project to be a franchise record, but only slightly higher than it was in the 16-18 era. It will also be interesting to see how the defense plays out. Shortstop J.P. Crawford and Wong are former Gold Glove winners, but both had poor defensive metrics in 22, and Hernandez, while athletic, is below average outfielder. On the bright side, we get to see year two of Julio Rodriguez as the Mariners go for a second straight playoff appearance. Okay, so if I'm to understand, just based on reading this, the Mariners' defense, which has been essentially excellent for the last few years, is going to be so bad this year that it's going to not only offset the pitching, but drop the seventh best lineup with really good pitching, even like more than two or three spots below where they're at. I'm sorry. I find that very difficult to believe. Very challenging. Either I've got to believe that this lineup thing is incorrect, or I got to believe that their overall ranking is wrong. Because I don't see how both those things work at the same time.
Well, then let me ask you, if you look at the nine teams ahead of them, who do you think they should be above?
All of them.
Number one.
I think if I had to rank where the Mariners should be right now, I think I'd probably have them seventh, maybe eighth.
Okay, so
it's only
just
a couple
after the Dodgers,
of spots.
Ahead of the Blue Jays, Phillies, Rays.
Yeah, look, the Astros are going to still be number one. They're the champs. It's hard for me to imagine taking them off that until they're knocked off their perch. Mm-hmm. The Mets, look, they get to start here, but I'm not entirely convinced that they're going to end there. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Like, I understand what they did in the offseason. They brought in a tremendous amount of talent. They spent a ton of money. But I'm not convinced they end the season there. I've seen this story play out too many times in the past where owner goes crazy, spends a gazillion dollars all in one year, and it falls apart. So we'll see on the Mets. Braves, yeah, it's a really good team.
Yeah.
Yankees, yeah, it's a pretty good team. Padres, again, they're sort of that same Mets situation. Like, how is this actually going to play out in reality? They didn't make the playoffs last year. They won fewer games than the Mariners did.
Wait, Padres?
Yeah. They did make
the playoffs.
I'm sorry. But they lost.
The Phillies beat,
yeah. Dodgers? Okay, it's going to be hard to jump ahead of that group. But no reason you can't be ahead of the Blue Jays, Phillies, and Rays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. You beat the Blue Jays last year, and then you took Teoscar Hernandez.
Right.
Did they get much better?
And the Philly, like, I just don't see that. Philly, the World Series losing Phillies.
Yeah, but it's a team that just sort of came on at the very end to get into the World Series.
Right.
I don't know, man. I just look, none of these things really matter. It's just rankings. At the end of the day, they're going to play 162 games to figure out where they rank, and the health of their rotation is going to factor into that. And somebody's pointing out that these are park adjusted, and the Mariners then have to go take that offense and play 81 games here in T-Mobile, which is not a great hitter's park, et cetera. All right, I'll buy all that. That's fair. But I think it is worth noting that ESPN looks at this offense and says seventh best in baseball. It may not play out that way in this ballpark over 81 games, but their offense should, on paper, be top seven to go with this pitching staff. And we're going to sit here complaining? Oh, and by the way, they've got resources to continue to make trades and get better? That sounds pretty good to me. I don't know. Like, to have that as a starting point, with the dry powder you need, whether it's in terms of money or in terms of pitching, which you have extra of if you need to trade it or if you have injury concerns, or in terms of prospects, which you didn't deal this offseason and which you've somehow replenished with getting the number two international signing this year and a couple of draft picks, which you haven't made yet in the first round. Remember, you got two first-round picks this year. That sounds pretty good to me. I don't know.
I agree with you.
I'm getting more and more excited about this Mariners season when I read stuff like this. And I also believe that when you look at that offense, Cal Raleigh, Jared Kelnick, and a couple other of these guys are going to be significantly affected in a positive way by banning the shift. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that Colton Wong and J.P. Crawford can bounce back defensively. I think a year with Perry Hill for Colton Wong will be meaningful. He's an athletic kid. And on J.P. Crawford's side, I think he was just overused last year.
Right. Maybe right? More built-in rest for him.
I get criticized occasionally for not criticizing Scott Servais. I will do so right now. Alert the presses. Oh. Today I have insulted my boss. Yeah. And now I will criticize Scott Servais. He became a little too in love with playing J.P. Crawford last year. Guy just needs more breaks. Honestly.
DePoto said that is clearly part of their plan this year.
It has to be. I mean, he just, at his body type, as he's starting to get older, like you've got, and not that he's old, I think he's like 26 or 27 or whatever it is, 28. But like, you got to give that guy a little bit more of a break. He can't be in there day after day after day.
Yeah.
Huh?
They pointed to his size.
Yeah. He's not some huge dude. You got to get that guy off his feet now and again. So I think that will help. I don't know if it's going to help his bat. Maybe it will, maybe not. I'm hoping last year was just a bad year for Crawford at the plate. But I think it should help his glove. And I think Colton Wong working for the first time with Perry Hill, we've seen that work wonders with Suarez, with Crawford, with France, all these guys in the past. So I don't know. I end up feeling pretty darn good about where the Mariners are.
Let me ask you then, maybe this is not as a possible exercise to run, but this power ranking that has the Mariners at number 10, their final 2022 regular season ranking was 12.
Right.
Would you have agreed with that then? Or do you think that should have also been higher or lower?
I don't remember. I can't remember where they were at the end of the year, but I probably should have been higher. They made the playoffs, right? I mean, like, and then they went and beat the rankings. They're rankings. They're not important. They don't have nearly enough honorable mentions for me to take them seriously. If you're going to rank things, the least you can do is do 20 minutes of honorable mentions before actually getting into the top.
Honestly, just respect it is really all I'm asking.
Just respect the rankings, right? But I like this text here. Salk, if they end up with the seventh best offense as the 209, they are going to win a lot of games. Totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that part of this prediction comes true and this offense is seventh best in baseball, yeah, I can see them winning a lot of games in 2023, assuming their pitching's just able to stay healthy. So,
see this text?
What's that?
360. How many honorable mentions did these rankings have?
I just said they don't have enough of them. It's ridiculous.
That's respect.
Not nearly enough honorable mentions. It's absurd.
And did the progenitor of rank just say the rankings don't matter?
Well, these rankings.
The 425?
Yeah. The 206. You're right. They're just rankings. They're not important. People should stop doing them.
Well, that's just not right. How dare you people? Here's the other thing people are upset about today. I am not. I want to start off for everybody who calls me a whiner or whatever. I am not upset about this, but I have seen that some other people are. Julio Rodriguez, despite being potentially perfect, will not grace the cover of the video game MLB The Show. Are you upset about this today? I've seen the people are. Does this bother you? It's going to be Jazz Chisholm, right, who is a second baseman for the Marlins. Really good, exciting young player. So you can't sit here and claim, you know, Northeast bias.
I don't know. Honestly, these things matter so little to me, but they matter so much to people that I respect that I feel like I should be more upset about.
Who is it that you respect that this matters to?
You don't know these people?
Okay. Oh, just friends of yours.
Yeah, friends of mine.
All right.
Yeah, it's not like they're big names on
so
Twitter.
So you're going to have friends of yours that will text you today and be like, this is garbage. This is ridiculous. How dare they not put Julio on the cover?
Nah, I think it's more of just they literally compare the backs of baseball cards. And they're like, this is a better player. Why isn't he on the front? A more exciting player?
I don't know. I mean, like, here's the only thing I would say. Do you know anything about Jazz Chisholm? Will they know anything about Jazz Chisholm?
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's like, if he's on this cover, then obviously he has done something to earn this.
Right.
And I have not been following Miami Marlins
right.
baseball enough.
Maybe this is something you should take a look inward.
To kick a hole in my own argument. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't have it in me to talk too much about this, but I understand that there are people upset about it, and I thought I'd point that out.
Well, we also know there's enough curses of being on covers of video games that I'm okay with them.
That's actually a really good point.
The 206 says that they haven't had any teams on the cover twice, and the Mariners already had Griffey.
I was going to say with Griffey at his own game.
Right. Well, then I guess this is just fair. I guess this one's just fair. What are you going to do?
This one.
All right, Maura, you asked a question yesterday. I'll shift gears here for a few minutes. You asked a question yesterday about which position you'd rather be in. Now that both teams are out, both the Seahawks and the Niners. Niners got farther. Obviously, they beat the Seahawks. But whose shoes would you rather be in now moving forward, the Seahawks or the Niners? The Seahawks don't have a quarterback under contract. The Niners have two of them, but one of them just is about to have to, in all likelihood, have UCL surgery for his elbow. And the other has been a complete disaster every time he's tried to play in Trey Lance. So who's got a better quarterback situation right now, the Seahawks or the Niners?
Well, and they both. Like, they're with Purdy, they're hoping that it's just a UCL rupture that they can repair
right.
and not a full Tommy John surgery. And then with Trey Lance, there was also some complications there in his fractured fibula, and he had to have two surgeries.
Right.
So, like, not only do you have these injury issues, but they're not ones that you're clear they're going to be ready
to bounce
go.
Back.
Well, that's
yeah.
right. I mean, first of all, Brock Purdy's got to be able to throw the ball in order to be Brock Purdy. We saw what he looked like when he couldn't throw the ball. It wasn't very good. And if Trey Lance can't run, I think he's screwed because that guy can't throw. So, yeah, I mean, like, major.
He gave up so much for him. I think they were already ready to get over that and say, like, Brock Purdy's the guy. But
and now you can't necessarily say that. And then what? They're not going to re-sign Jimmy Garoppolo again, right? I assume that relationship will finally come to an end.
I doubt it, but I guess what if it is a Tommy John for Brock Purdy and Trey Lance isn't ready?
Ultimately, I think you have to say you would rather be in the Niners' shoes. Because even with that controversy or problem, I mean, right now they're talking about Tom Brady as a possibility. They could try to get, you know, Carr as a possibility. They can find a capable quarterback to go run that team if they need to.
Yeah, that defense is still going to be scary next year.
That defense isn't going anywhere. That offensive line is still really good. And yeah, they got pushed around a little bit by Philadelphia. But I think if you give them a full game with a real quarterback, I'll see what happens. I'm not saying they beat Philly. Philly looked really good on that day. And I don't know whether the Niners win, even with a healthy Brock Purdy or somebody else a quarterback. But that offense is good enough, and the weaponry is good enough, and the defense is good enough that I'm not sure it matters that much. Now, they don't have a lot of picks this year. They're not like they've essentially traded all of those for McCaffrey and for, you know, Trey Lance and all the other moves that they've made in the last few years. They don't have their own pick until, what, the fifth round this year? Yeah. They're going to get a few compensatory picks in the third round, but that's it. So they'll have like a few third round picks and then a fifth rounder and then from there on. So it's not like they're getting marquee level premium talent in the draft. And eventually they're going to start dealing with some of the salary cap issues that happen when you've brought together a team of veterans. So they're in win now mode and they're going to have to do it real quick. But I got to tell you, I still think that they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree. And like, yeah. I'm thinking back to like some of these huge players that they have. And it's like, oh, they went 3-14. Yeah. Like, I mean, there was a lot of years where they were terrible.
And they blew one of those years with Trey Lance.
Yeah.
And traded two first rounders for him. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, they absolutely have had their own issues. And yet when you hit on Armstead, who wasn't a top five pick, I think he was like 12, 15, something like that. I mean, that's just a really good draft pick right there. You hit on Bosa. You hit on a few of those other guys. Your linebackers really grow into it and become stars. Yeah, you end up where the Niners are at. No, by the way, you hit on Deebo Samuel. You hit on Ayuk. You trade for McCaffrey. I mean, John Lynch has done a really good job. Smart guy, understands the game, came out of, you know, everyone wants to make fun of Mayock and some of the other guys who've come out of TV and be like, oh, they failed. Well, what about John Lynch? He didn't fail. He's been tremendous as a general manager, I think, so far. They just got to get the quarterback thing figured out, and I think they're in pretty good shape to do that. So, yeah, the NFC West is going to be a little weird, right? You got quarterback issues in all four cities right now. But I still think the Niners roster is going to be good enough.
I just think the Seahawks are entering a period where they're going to be able to contend for Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. And like with the draft capital that they have available this year, with the cap space that they have available, if they do it right, I think they have a longer window. Whereas I think the 49ers already have blown kind of some of
that. I think that's
by
a
going
good point.
After Trey Lance and being confused about their quarterback situation. They probably should have never paid Jimmy Garoppolo to begin with. They got, I mean, I know he went to a Super Bowl, but obviously there's a reason that they were ready to move on from him.
They've gotten everything else right, it feels like, except for the quarterback position.
So I guess that says a lot about the decision that the Seahawks need to make right now, because I think they are entering a big window here, but they need to figure out what they want to do moving forward.
So would you say that, would you agree that San Francisco is closer to winning a Super Bowl right now than the Seahawks are, but the Seahawks are about to open up a window where that will be more common,
yes,
whereas the Niners window is starting to close?
The Niners have maybe one or two more
years. Yeah, I think that's well said. All right, Brock's going to join us here in a minute. You talk about Geno Smith. My meter for Geno signing is changing, and I'll tell you why coming up. Brock and Salk, Sales Sports on 710. SeattleSports.com.